So closing off the school term before we went on to winter break, there was the holiday breakfast, as I mentioned at a previous board meeting, and that went really well. The setup was the teachers and students who helped set up the fabulous job. People came in the morning also to help cook food for the students and the band, of course. But so that all went really well, and the students had a great time. Over the break, the basketball teams had games, and they all did really well in their games. They won some and they lost some. Now, with starting up today and this coming part of school, there's new clubs. So there's a new teaching and learning in a virtual reality with Mr. Moselle, which is starting up this week. There's also a cooking club starting up this week, and then rehearsals for the school musical Annie Get Your Gun have officially started today, and we'll be going on to the show. And then Montcourt has started meeting, and they are getting their case together for their first trials, which are coming up, I think, in the next month or so.
Are you on it?
I do not know yet.
Do you know what the topic is?
No, they haven't got it yet. The first meeting is tomorrow.
Okay.
Who's the advisor this year?
Last year it was Mr. Pollinger. I think it's going to be Mr. Pollinger. Yeah, this year.
And the class that Mr. Moselle, it's a club, teaching and learning in virtual reality.
Yes.
Do you have any idea what that is?
I think it's
sounds good. You're like, cool.
You can report on it. Even if you're not in the club, go anyway.
That is all I have for right now.
Thank you. Right.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
All righty. Andrew, if you don't, if you like to go home to your homework now, you can leave us. If you like, or you can stay. But thank you so much for your report. Okay. Now we'll move on to the consent agenda. There's a few things, items we need to pull. First one was, let's see, Boston Service. Is that okay to be on there? That's still on consent. Just highlight it.
Yeah, I mean, I can say something about it beforehand. Okay. I don't know, maybe we should pull it off if we're going to discuss it at all.
Pull it off?
Yeah. Because we're not supposed to discuss things around.
Okay, personnel 801. Okay, pull that one. And let's see.
And 802, I'd actually, again, I mean, we need to.
You want
802? Just in terms of documentation, I think we need to maybe
802, off two.
Yeah.
And then 803, staff appointment.
Yep.
And 804, substitute staff.
That's already off. That's okay.
That's already off?
Yeah.
Okay. Off. And let's see. Also, 806, you want it? Minute for
that's already
that's
off.
Off.
Okay, that's
off. Already
off. Okay, it is off. Okay.
806 is off also.
Yes.
806 was off already. There's no asterisk next to it. Any asterisk?
Yeah, she has a little yellow thing to show that there's no asterisk.
Okay. I got to catch up on this too.
Bill, I think I have to either be excused from the consent agenda or have the minutes taken off too because I can't vote on one of the sets of minutes.
Why?
Because I wasn't present at the meeting.
You were present for a portion of it.
No. Not on 12-9 for the vote on the treasury.
You're right, we didn't. We wound up not voting on the other thing. Yeah, all right, let's take that off.
12-9 was specifically for the treasurer.
Yeah.
Close the door.
Yeah, really, cold out here.
I mean, if you could just remove that.
For which one is
it? It's going to be for the minutes,
the minutes.
So that's going to be up early. Let me see.
Is 701.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So all of 701.
Well, actually, we just need to take 12-9 off.
Yeah.
12-9.
And we'll do that as a separate item.
Okay. So
is that okay?
7.01.
12-9-14. 12-9-14.
Correct.
You said 8.1 3 and 2.
12-9 is 2.
No, that's 19. That's 9. So it's just the 12-9 one.
Okay.
803, yes. Just a question. We just want to ask a question. You do too, okay.
803.
So that's good. So it's off, yeah. We'll, my question is going to need to be executive session, so we'll have a very brief one afterwards.
Is there anything else anybody wants to have pulled? Okay. I have a motion to...
Can we just go over those one more time?
Absolutely.
So 701 minutes, specifically minutes December 9, 2014?
Yes, so if we can make 12-9, not 19, 12-9, if we can make that like 703 or something?
Yeah, I'll figure that out in
the
minutes.
You can just renumber it after.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then 801, 802, and 803, is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Good, thank you.
And I think it's a little safe. Do we need to appoint mentors for part-time, non-tenure track positions?
I don't know what your mentor agreement says.
Yeah, okay.
But you do not have to appoint by law mentors for part-time employees. I don't know what your agreement says.
I'd like to pull one of the ones off of, because there's other things too, of 805. I'd like to take the Craig Wickwire, Eric Wiener appointment off that, and we can do it next week.
Oh, wait a minute.
Next meeting, sorry.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Just that one.
What one? Is that
the it's in 805. It's the appointments for mentors and mentees.
Page
6.
It's on page 6 of 9 on the top.
And which one?
Eric Wiener for Craig Wickwire. Because I'm not sure we need to appoint a mentor for non-tenure track positions. And to me, music and art, at the very least, we should have a conversation about it. It seems a little...
Craig is...
unuseful, but... Yeah, so I'd just like to pull that one off.
So we're going to divide it up.
Yeah.
Everything else is...
I'd like to pull it off, period, because we need to look at our policy, you know.
As soon as Ray gets back, I'd like to tell him, too, that we'd like to have a discussion on how many times we've asked in the past, or I've asked in the past, on mentors, how many times they meet with their mentees, what do they do, what do they discuss, I mean, how do they...
You can ask our former mentor director, and unfortunately, from what I hear, it's very much dependent on who gets the mentoring and menteeing, and I'm that's another thing we need to address. Really need to.
We're paying a lot of money if they're not even meeting.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and there's no documentation.
I'm not saying that they're not.
No,
you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're the track speaker or not allowed to speak yet. Am I allowed to speak yet? I don't know.
Mr. President?
I don't see why not. Sure. You've been a mentee for many years.
Mentor,
sorry. Mentee.
There used to be reports that were given. That were turned in every other month, and they were supposed to meet, and it, like, for a first-year teacher, it was more often than it was for a second-year teacher.
Mm.
I believe, unless it's changed, the only time you're required to have a mentor is first-year teacher. and then after that, it's at the discretion of the principal. For a first-year teacher, we used to meet very frequently in the beginning, where there were actually observations inside the classroom where the mentor would actually go in and do an observation in the classroom and meet with the teacher. We used to do in services, we used to do like a 3-day before school opened, we used to do an in service for 3 days prior to the opening of school where the new teachers would come in. And this goes back to when Denise and I were doing it, and we would give workshops. We used to do book studies on classroom management and that kind of thing, because that used to be the weakest point. Usually that's the weakest area for the teachers. A lot of that has kind of changed over the years.
Who was responsible, or who got the paperwork after your meetings? And or where to go to? Did it go to principals?
It went to Denise and I when we were the mentor directors. It went to us, and reason being that it was felt that unless there was a real issue where it was a danger to somebody, they wanted to keep administrators out of it because they felt that once you started bringing administrators into it, there was, people wouldn't open up.
Right.
And they wanted to have, so all those reports would come to Denise and myself, because we were co-mentor directors. And so they would come to us. And then we kept track of them, and then before the mentors got paid, all the reports had to be in. And then we would turn that in and sign off on it prior to their getting.
So it goes to mentor director.
Right.
All paperwork now. And I believe our mentor director now is a principal.
Well, last year it was Katie. I don't think we've appointed anybody this year. And part of the reason is because I had spoken to Jim and said that the laws have in fact changed, and that now we're supposed to have a mentor policy that's written out very carefully. There's supposed to be a committee that recommends mentors, and you're supposed to pick the best teachers, and we do none of that. So, to me, we're just kind of throwing money into the wind when we keep doing
right.
it this way.
Can you look at this for us, please? Yeah. You know where we're coming from, right?
Sure.
Okay. Alrighty.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because it's a lot of money we're spending here on mentors.
I mean, I've gone on a few other school districts. They have some sample ones on the state aid you can go to, and I need solid policies and formulas.
This is a music teacher, but an art teacher.
But he's also not tenure track.
No.
The mentee is not tenure track. He's 0.6, and he's not a tenure track position. So I want to see whether we even, if we want to do it, I don't think we're obligated to do it when it's not tenure track, even by contract. But I want to at least look into it, and then we can discuss whether we want to say okay anyway. But once you do it, it becomes a past practice. So we need to think about it and talk about it.
Okay. Do we have any other questions on this one? Let's move on. Can I have a motion for the consent agenda as we rewrote
it?
So moved.
Second. Motion is made by Christian, seconded by John. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, now, do we want to go back to which ones do we want to have for exec session? The ones we pulled off?
Why don't we go through them one by one?
Okay.
See what we need, because I'm not sure.
801, the BOCES services?
Well, actually, we took off the minutes. We have 1 minute to vote for. The minutes for December 9th.
I make a motion that we approve the minutes from January 9th with Judy Westfall abstaining. Is that right?
December 9th.
Mm-hmm. I'll second that.
Okay, motion made by Christian, seconded by John. All in favor?
It occurred to me afterwards, and I apologize profusely, and I apologize to the rest of the board members for not thinking about that while it was going on. We should have had Judy involved in that vote, even if it was to abstain. She's a member of the board, and we should have held that vote with her. And I should have realized that while we were doing it.
I don't quite follow what you're saying. She should.
We took a vote without her even in the room, and she's a member of the board, and we shouldn't have done it that way. So I apologize for that. Yes, you would have had to abstain, but we should have. And I didn't think about it. So I just wanted to apologize because I didn't think about it, and I don't think we handled it right. That's all.
Trace, in that particular minutes. It also says that there were 6 members present, but there were only 5, and you listed them correctly.
No.
But just the numbers wrong?
Yes.
Because you weren't present for the vote. You were present, and that's why I'm saying because you took part in the meeting after that and interviews, and we really should have held the vote with you there.
Okay. So motion made, seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
My question is, did we just vote on December 9th instead?
Ninth, yes.
And all the rest were consent?
All the rest were consent, yes.
Thank you.
I abstained.
We're making life difficult for you this week, Tracy.
Okay. We're going to move on to 801. That was on consent, right?
Yes. No, that was not.
That was pulled off?
801 was opposed.
Only because I, Cynthia, you're going to be with us 4 days now, right? Okay, just wanted to make sure, because I had said that to Jim the other day, and he said, no, three, and I think he thought I meant what you were now, and I said, so I wanted to make sure.
This week,
okay, great, thanks. Well, we should put a starting date in then, too, so. As of
today?
January 5th.
January 5th of 2015.
Yeah.
Got to remember 15, too.
Yeah.
Was there any discussion regarding the Kenneth Marsh increase?
No, the reason this is on is because I had asked Jim, because I thought it hadn't happened, and he said, well, yes, he did it. And I said, well, I didn't see it on the agenda. And he said, oh, well, we'll put it on the agenda. So it's...
Okay, good. And then do we need a start date for Kenneth, too?
That's our plan, too.
Yeah.
Do we have a date on Kentu? Or has he been on?
I don't have it on hand, but I think it started immediately as soon as we got that LOA signed between BOCES and...
Oh, all right, so...
May have started back on the discussion in December.
Okay, so then we'll put you as of January 5th, and perhaps you can give Tracy the information on Kenneth, and we'll, whenever his first day was.
So you'll fix that, Tracy. You'll put a date in. In that case, I make a motion that we approve this increase in BOCES services agenda item as amended.
I'll second it.
Motion is made, seconded by Judy. All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody want? The ayes have it. Okay, move on to 802, instructional appointment.
The only thing that I thought we should add there is that it's something to the effect of as needed, because it's we're appointing someone to use if we need a tutor. And, you know, when you go back and look at these things, you ought to be able to tell that instead of just saying that we're appointing a tutor. Because my first reaction was, who for? And, you know, 2 years from now, someone may say who for, too. So it's a good idea to put down as much information as we can.
Do we use this particular person when kids are suspended, mm-hmm. or just as kids need them?
It's long-term.
And
well,
it's
the
just suspension, isn't it, usually?
The only way we can pay for it is if they're suspended for more than 3 days out of school suspension, or if they're sick and can't come to school. Otherwise, we don't pay for a tutor.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been instances where we've sent tutors to homes in extreme cases. Over the years.
Well, but only if there's, I mean, we can't pay for a private tutor.
No. So
and suspension, don't we send them to the library? Public site, right?
That's right.
Yes, usually we do.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay, hold on there.
So we can just say, following instructional appointment, effective January 6, 2015, as needed, or, you know, just something that says it's, you know. Is as needed sound okay, or else make up something better?
Yes. No, I'm going to listen to it. I'm kind of behind. So.
I'm sorry.
No?
So, Judy made a motion.
It's the computer.
Motion made. Second?
Yes, second.
Kristen, second? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it. Okay, moving down to...
Okay, 803 is going to be exec session.
Actually,
oh, you wanted to... Okay.
So I'm going to abstain from that.
Oh, okay.
Did you
want?
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So.
We'll move that one to exec anyway.
Yeah, and then when we come out, we'll do it in two parts.
Okay. And then 804. Let's see.
Okay. So, my concern about this is the way the appointment of our new treasurer for 2 days of training was done. And we had that meeting. We voted from the start on January 5th, quite specifically after a conversation saying that Val was going to be here to help train after, from January 5th on anyway, and that we didn't want to pay any, certainly any more holiday pay than we needed to. And my concern is that there was a conversation between the superintendent and the board president asking for permission to appoint as an emergency. And first of all, it wasn't an emergency. And secondly, if it was, we had an opportunity to vote on it December 19th and didn't do so. And that's what we're supposed to do legally if there's an emergency appointment. So I'm not happy with the way this was handled. It's not a matter of not happy. It was wrong, period. It was not done legally. It was not done properly. It has nothing to do with happy. I have to stop saying things that way. And I don't, I think we need to get better about not falling into situations where, yeah, it's a little wrong here. It's a little wrong there. It's a little whatever. This doesn't even say how many days there were. And, you know, I mean, what I heard from Jim is that it was for the 18th and the 19th. But again, we have nothing on this appointment as to what we're okay. We only have a salary because I called today and asked for the salary, because you can't appoint somebody with no salary. So, you know, it's kind of sloppy, and I'd like us not to be sloppy. That's all.
I think it's sloppy on both ends, though, if that's the way we're approaching it. It's, you know, administratively so, and, you know, from our board action, too. I mean, we talked about different ways to circumvent these issues from happening, so I think that responsibility falls back on anybody who's involved in those discussions to make sure that everybody's... Yeah.
And I certainly expressed my concern about this happening again to Bill.
Yes, she did.
You know, it's a two-way street, and you're absolutely right. And it has to not happen again.
And the reason I agreed on that is because he came forward and he said that we had some opportunity to get some extra coverage while everyone was on staff before for the holidays. So maybe I shouldn't. I thought he would email her. Text everybody, tell them what's going on.
Well, just for moving forward, if I may, I would say to our new superintendent, it's something that's come up on the board a few times, and basically, you know, if as superintendent you go to our board president, which makes perfect sense, the problem is that our board president is very difficult to get in touch with. Works long hours and is busy, and so a lot of times the information doesn't get out to the rest of the board, and then we're surprised. And I think that Bill, you know, will support you and try to move things along. So we, as the rest of the board, are asking you to make it your responsibility, I think, to the extent that this is a reasonable request, to keep us all in the loop.
No, yes. I mean, we met on the 19th,
yeah,
to appoint you, mm-hmm, and that's when we should have voted. And not only did we not vote, we didn't even hear about it. So we don't want that to
happen. But for future reference, if there are things that I'm going to be talking with Bill about that, because he's very busy, I should disseminate them to everyone.
Just a quick blurb.
He's, no, it's
technology. It's something that requires a vote, because some of these things, you know, circumvent votes, so if you don't.
And we've done that before. This is one that I think is unusual in that I really don't understand why we didn't hear about it.
Okay.
But, you know, it is what it is. So that's the way it goes.
Easy enough.
Thank you. Then I'd like to move that we accept the substitute support staff appointment.
I'll second it.
I have one problem. One of these appointments, I think, was a particular person involved with our employment here before.
Yeah.
Now we should go into executive session.
So I think we should take
this
and go into executive session.
Yeah.
Exec session.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't
want
to bring the name up. Okay. So take that one. Okay.
Okay. It's fine.
Okay. Then we're.
We voted on that without. We removed. From that, so that's okay.
Okay.
And then 806, I know Judy had a lot of questions about this one. Did we get anywhere? Did you get answers to any of those questions?
No, didn't hear anything there.
So, are you aware of the question?
Well, not the question, but I'm aware of, and I may have some answers.
Thank you. Anything?
I move that we table this until after executive session we discuss.
Okay.
Okay, but it's not all of it is executive session, so we need to come out to discuss the parts that aren't.
Well, but it depends. You're going to talk about certain individuals.
No, I'm talking about the designation. The
position.
The senior account.
Yeah, you cannot appoint somebody to a position that they're not actually filling, period.
And the rationale for doing it wasn't very clear. And Jim proposed it, and Jim's gone. So I don't know. Is this your motion?
Yes, it is. By default, I have been told, and the understanding from Mary, that any other type of classification or title would need to fall under independent contractor. This falls under the civil service titles, and that this person, this individual, can be used either as a senior account clerk or as a consultant for the business person. So I understand that this person can be used in different ways. Is that correct, Cynthia?
Mary's concern was that when we get audited at the end of the year, the payroll audit through the personnel department, when they got to this one, they would say business office consultant in question and may not approve our payroll due to that. So she wanted to add a civil service classification so that when they got to that one, it would be approved.
They are far less likely to approve it if it's a lie.
Well, she is eligible. She is on that list, and that was why that title was chosen.
Senior account clerk?
Judy pointed out that her pay level exceeds
for that position. And the rationale.
Well, this position doesn't even exist here. We have a senior typist, and not in the current contract.
I think Mary is a senior account clerk typist.
Well, it's not in the current CSEA contract, and that would make perfect sense since Mary and Val are not in the contract. They are off-contract employees.
Yeah.
So it's a little silly.
It was never created, and there's no more senior account clerk because that was the position I held. So that one was gone.
There's something before that. Deputy Treasurer, senior account clerk.
We have a senior account clerk in the contract. We have a senior typist in the contract.
No, we're not having one.
Neither one of them goes anywhere near what we want to pay.
I don't think senior comfort is there anymore either.
No.
How is it?
She said that's where they went. That was gone.
That was vacated.
Nice. Well, what I'm saying is that if we want to appoint her to that, we have to create the position. If we create the position, you have to give it a salary.
Yes.
We are not going to give a salary for somebody who is doing something entirely different and costing a lot more to that position, because if we ever do want to put it back in, that's what we're going to be paying. We can't keep playing these games. When we did the negotiating for the CSEA contract last time, one of the big sticking points was that there were people who were off step.
Yep.
And it turned into a whole big, and why are they off step? Why are they this? It went back and forth. And luckily, we finally settled it to everyone's satisfaction and said, we're never paying anyone off step again. And here we go, starting up with it again. So we can't do this. And there's no need to do it. I mean, I sent you all the link to the retirement office.
Right.
She can be appointed as a consultant or independent contractor, and there's absolutely no reason why. I don't know why Mary's concerned about it. If she could get a letter from somebody.
Well, I think she had something from the IRS defining the independent contractor.
Ah.
That's certain titles that are
yes.
Not.
But that's the independent contractor part. We had her appointed as a consultant. And we were going to pull the salary from it, and if that's her only concern,
right.
That's all we have to do,
but,
is make her a business
office
consultant.
But is Mary concerned that we won't be able to be state aidable back?
It's not going to be state-aidable.
Because she said she doesn't know what would happen at the end if they did not. Because I said, well, if they don't certify the payroll, what does that mean? And I don't think she had a clear answer because she didn't. She's never come across that before.
We've got three consultants appointed right now.
I'm sorry?
We've got three consultants appointed right now.
Who are not, I think it's because of their title. What kind of consultant, or maybe they're certified, is what the problem is. Like Mary is under the school business manager, and I think that was the issue. That flies because under personnel, it's a non-exempt title, I think it is.
And Val's position, which she will be working as a trainer for, is also not part of civil service. It is an exempt position. It is an independent contract. She is not part of the contract. I understand the independent contractor part. Mm-hmm. And that, yes, that could be troublesome. I agree. But the point is that the consultant is not troublesome. And right in that, I mean, I sent the links. It says, just go talk to civil service. Go talk to the Office of Retirement. And they'll give you a waiver and do it. I mean, who is it who certifies our payroll?
The personnel department. They do an audit at the end of the year.
The personnel department of New York State?
No,
or
Dutchess County personnel.
Dutchess County personnel for CSEA.
Not just CSEA, I think it's for everybody.
Then call up Dutchess County personnel and explain that this is an exempt. I'm not appointing somebody to a position they're not holding.
If it shows like that she retired from a treasurer position, which is CSEA, and that she will come on as a consultant, not under CSEA, that's not payroll covered? I mean, I don't understand that.
That wasn't part of
it. Wow.
I don't think there's any problem with this.
Question?
I really don't.
We have no problem paying her whatever the rate is that she has for the work she's doing.
Right.
It's just the way that it's being
legalities.
Right.
Okay. Let's talk with, again, attorneys tomorrow.
Yeah.
Let's talk with civil service, and we can come up with something.
Right.
We'll share with you before the 20th.
20th.
Yeah.
And the substitute needs to come right out.
Yeah.
Because that's even.
So
I mean,
it's not opposed to her getting paid.
No, not at all.
It's just
no.
Nothing.
No.
No. No. No.
And she's already been appointed. This is a modification, so
right.
she's free to come in and work and get paid. We can always modify it after the fact.
Okay.
But make sure we give the information correctly, because another time we asked information about whether teachers could be 0.5 or 0.6, and the answer we got back dealt entirely with teachers who were core teachers and were only able to teach or were only required to teach 5 periods, when the people we were talking about, we can assign up to 7 periods. So all the information we got back was useless and meaningless because we didn't give them the right parameters. So it would be good to give them the right parameters.
I make a motion we table this for further review and information from the superintendent and the business office.
I'll second.
Motion made, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Move on now to 902. Approval of purchase of social studies textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
Roseanne is.
Yes.
You've gone all through this and
are looking for tools for global studies. They have not had a new social studies textbook in quite a number of years. The majors textbook, which is very heavy, is coming around. And there's some other pieces here that I'll start on this side. And they did research. They had, they looked at 3 different programs, and this is the one they came up with. They found that it most met their needs. They got a good price, and by the way, there is a typo. It said $133, and it's actually $13,300 in the agenda.
Yeah, it's that's each cost, right?
That's $133.97 each.
Yeah.
So they gave us a really good deal. They're doing free updates for 8 years. As you know, in global history, things are changing on a daily basis in the world, and so they're updating. We have a lot of, we get the e-books as well as the textbooks. We were hoping to kind of go without the textbook, but we're not ready for that yet. So we will have the textbooks as well.
What movie song?
And they were really excited about it. They're really excited about trying this out. The reason we're ordering it, that the question has come up, why are we getting 100 books, is because this is for both the 9th and the 10th grade global studies. It's a two-year program.
Right.
And so the same textbook will be used for both grades. The first half is in 9th grade, the second half is in 10th grade. So we need to have enough books for both.
Right. Why does this say the book costs $96.97? So if you were going to buy 100 of them, isn't that the one you adopted?
Yeah.
World History, Prentice Hall, and Pearson.
Right.
It says the cost is $96.97 if you're going to buy 100. I think that means it's $9,695, not $13,300.
It's, well, it is, if you look at the proposal, the other pieces, the total is, and the highlighting didn't come out.
I see.
Actual cost, this is on the back here.
Oh, I didn't even see this. Okay.
It's on the, it's at top. It's a $13,495.95?
Yeah. And she's going e-copies too, so they use my line too. Mm-hmm. And I understand that they had to negotiate that because they've never given that many years in advance.
That's right.
They started in like 2 or 3 years only?
And they, yeah, he really, she really, I guess she's getting married. so she really worked with him. We got a lot of freebies.
Okay. Cool.
Good.
Yes, the free updates are for 8 years. So we will get free updates for 8 years. And we're good for quite a while.
That's good. That's
thank
good.
You, Mr. Saltishek.
I still don't get it. I'm really sorry.
Can I see?
The book costs $9.
Yeah, you got one right here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
They're all on.
Yeah.
Okay. It's right here. I just saw the wrong one because you didn't have your glasses on.
Yeah, she said that thing.
Okay, got it. So this one, no problem.
$133.97.
And what does that mean? 50 free charge.
We're getting 100 books. 50
of them free. Seriously, like,
you've given us 50 free books.
So that doesn't come out? Yeah, it doesn't come out.
If that's the case, we're getting 150. We're paying for 100, but getting 150.
We're getting $6,698 worth of free stuff. This is for 8 years.
Okay.
Over 8 years. And we're getting charged for $13,300.
That is the price of 100 books at $133.97. It's $13,397. That's paying for 100.
But we're talking about the digital courseware over the 8 years as well.
Digital.
So the textbooks are one price, and then plus the digital courseware.
Oh, that must be what's free. Is the digital
free
courseware?
Yes.
Yes,
thank you.
Yeah, that is confusing.
I know, it is very
confusing. I think my only question, and it looks like you guys did a great job comparing, and I like the comparisons. Are there any other school districts that have world history scores, regions that are doing well, that are using this product?
That I can't answer that question. The only other school district that I talked to, and it wasn't in regard to textbooks, it was in regards to scores,
okay,
was Hyde Park, because I know people over there, and they were searching for a textbook. And so I don't. A lot of people have been searching because the scores apparently across the county were low. So, and this book is relatively new. So, because they've just adopted the draft of the new
work,
so the draft standards for social studies were just adopted in April. So, I'm not sure that there's any trial out there yet. You know, I don't think that there's any way of really comparing them at this point.
Another question. When you say you aren't ready to go without the textbook, like, what does that mean? When and how would you be ready?
Well, Kevin said as far as not all the students have the technology, not have a textbook.
At home.
At home. Mm-hmm. So that they would be hesitant. Well, first of all, we were told that it would cost us the same amount of money, whether we had the textbooks or whether we didn't. All right, so that was one thing. There was a big discussion, and when we spoke with Kevin, he said that the technology is on the part of students, that not all students have the technology. We can't assume that all students have the technology to, at home,
Go without a book. It's
many school districts are moving toward buying technology
rather than books.
And the saving money. Yeah. Something to look towards in the future.
Yeah, we should be able to do.
Yeah.
$30,000
is
a monster.
$30,000 is a major price for textbooks.
Yeah. And we are moving in that direction.
But we're just not there.
Something to look forward to. Any professional development?
Yeah, and we do need to try to plan.
Not that I'm aware of yet.
Well, but that's why the 8 years of upgrades is very helpful.
I'll talk with you guys about it and talk with Pearson and tell them that we're not going to approve it until we get some professional development.
Okay, and I have
just to work with the teachers on what all the components are.
I have the contact person. We'll do that. Her name is Hicks. Her last name is Hicks, and I'll email her.
Telling you, superintendent's a real son of a gun. He won't let us do
it. She emails me almost on a daily basis. Is there any news?
Tomorrow, Wednesday,
so
whenever you want.
I will email it to you tomorrow morning, and all her contact.
We'll be in there together. I want to talk together. So whenever you're in next, when I'm in together.
Tomorrow. Okay. And so I will give you that information. But I know from in the past, even with other series, for high school, it's very difficult to get good professional development. For elementary, no problem. High school, it's...
I'm sure you've investigated, but...
So
if we can get it, we need it, for sure.
Okay,
we'll pull that one
until our next meeting.
Oh,
902. The purchase number, you want to purchase
it? No, we can approve it.
We just won't buy it until we have the authority to purchase.
We have the authority to approve it, but we don't. Okay. I thought you...
We'll get something more out of them tomorrow.
Okay.
Also, that is all state aidable, right?
Percentage.
A percentage. We don't get that much textbook aid anymore, but we have some, so we can use it for that.
And we do have money for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
We haven't been using all our textbooks.
Because we haven't gotten a lot of textbooks.
We never use all our textbook money. Last year, at the end of the year, we got an email that we needed to spend textbook money. There is money there. It's sitting there.
And so, Greg, you need some time to look into something. Is that why you're holding off on the vote?
No, I think you should vote on it. Okay. I think they've done a real nice job in comparison, and I'm not going to take away the months of work that they've done. I just like to hit them up a little bit more before we tell them we said yes to it.
Get a better deal.
Get a little bit more.
Right. I mean, we're only approving the textbook for purchase. We're not saying go ahead and spend as much as that. It can always be less.
We'll be fine.
Right, one more. Okay.
But we would approve it because the cost of it is in that item.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Okay. So we're putting this on pause.
You should approve it.
No, we should
go and approve it. I feel like I'm hearing two different.
I think
things.
You should approve it, and just we'll talk tomorrow about maybe getting a little more extra out of it. I
make a motion that we approve the purchase of the social studies textbooks for an amount not to exceed.
$13,400-something.
Yeah. Mm. That's it. 13, whatever.
Yeah.
$13,367.
I have $13,397, but there was another number somewhere else.
Yeah, on that thing. It's
$13,400. And what is it? Oh, okay. I make a motion we approve this textbook purchase for an amount not to exceed $13,397.
Yeah.
Second.
Go ahead.
Motion made, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? The ayes have it. Okay. This is not operations where I take care of others. Anything under 1002, anything under other, under business and operations?
No.
No? Okay. Board of Ed. Anything under other?
Yes. We have a letter from Jen Chasen. So, what do we want to do about that? Not everybody's seen it?
No.
It just came this afternoon fairly late. I ran it out.
Yeah, I know Chris hasn't looked at it yet.
I haven't.
You saw it, maybe John, Bill.
On that, but there's another issue that was brought up before that letter, and that's the PLL director, and that's what we're
We have to have an ELL director because there are the amount of information that State Ed wants from us on ELL. Oh, geez. You can't have each principal winging it. You just can't. And frankly, I don't think they even are up to speed about it anyway. We need to have somebody. I don't know who, but it's something we have to come up with. I mean, we have to find someone. I'd actually like at some point to throw out there the possibility of hiring someone along the lines of a pupil personnel services, because we have so much stuff going on that it's getting increasingly difficult to feel good about putting it on the backs of the principal. I mean, the amount of sheer information and paperwork and everything else that needs to get shoved through here is absolutely monumental.
One of the things I've noticed in a very short time, week here, looking at this, I think I told you this at my interview, is if you want the best instruction possible, it starts in the principal's office. Mm-hmm. And they really need to be in the classrooms. They need to be engaging with the teachers to making sure the instruction and the curriculum are being upheld to the highest standards. And putting a PPS directorship, which has its own tremendous elephant weight on top of that in regards to students with disabilities and the costs that go along with that, it's difficult. I just saw this today also. And to discuss, it's one thing. I'm not sure what the purpose of the letter is. Other than to inform you about budgetary discussion?
Starting the budget. Our first meeting is on January 20th, and we've asked.
Yeah, we need to sit and spend some time talking about all these. And the principals, I would suggest that we bring them, and the directors, we bring them in to at least discuss a little bit about some of their thoughts and processes so that you're not just getting it blind without any more discussion. Although she's done a nice job of spelling it out. But a lot of what you're saying, I would agree with in regards to that position. So.
That sounds excellent. So could we possibly just take that up at you could come back to us for our next meeting with the pros and cons of the PPL, is that what
PPS,
it is?
Student
PPS,
services.
As opposed to the ELL.
Two separate positions. And I don't know if you're aware that ESOL, which is English Speakers of Other Languages, is a whole new mandate from the state that is going to increase the number of ESOL services to students and the mandates for them. So I know many districts are prepping to add more ESOL staff. So it's a lot to do and a lot to look at. And as much as we can catch up to them, we'll catch up to those discussions, we'll do that. But I think the principals need to, to sit and spell out what their program is going to be like and what their needs are. And then look at the budget, because I understand the budget is in a lot more tight shape than it was in the past. So
very tight right now.
Yeah, but there are some other things that I think we need to look at much more carefully in terms of room to change.
But we'll talk about that. Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. You're going to get the full-fledged of everything that's needed, everything that's wished, and everything that we can look at maybe finding more efficiencies.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you'll put all that letter
Cynthia's
in context.
Cynthia's already there. Okay.
And this was actually one of the things that I wanted to bring up as part of this, because we need to, I think, really talk about this because scheduling is starting in addition to budgeting. Scheduling is starting for next year. Maybe I should have known this. I don't know. I mean, my kids didn't take music lessons when they were going here. Years ago when I took music lessons, they were after school. I was appalled to find out that we are pulling kids out of academic subjects to take music lessons. There's, I don't think there's any defense you can offer that to say that that's a good model for doing things. We have very small groups in music lessons, extremely small groups. We don't need to do that. If we structure the schedule so that there are open periods and you have 5, 10, 15 kids in a period for a music lesson, we should be able to do this without pulling anybody out of an academic subject. There's just no excuse for that.
I've been doing it that way forever. My kids all went yep. through this program and all had music lessons.
Well, yep. my kids have to, yeah.
Oh, my kids all got, yeah. well, actually, shouldn't say all, only my last two, but they've been pulled out since elementary school for their lessons.
What does that help?
I don't think it is. I just thought it was how y'all did it.
At some point, someone thought it was a good idea. When I went to school, we took lessons after school, yeah. period. Yeah, you wanted to take lessons, you stayed after school and you took
but
lessons.
But here, the lessons aren't voluntary. The lessons are, if you're in band playing an instrument, you get a lesson. Yeah. And it's not like an extra thing you signed up for.
Yeah,
it's part of band.
Yeah, but it's an elective. It's not like if you
yeah.
have to sign up for an instrument.
Well, if you sign up for
to.
Band, yeah, if you...
Yeah, no, my daughter's not in band, but she does play an, did play an instrument. They pulled her out of math. She had to lose the instrument because she's also an AIS. So it did become a toss-up, and we did have to drop the bands, or the lessons thing. She was not in band, and she was getting a grade for it, and it was the lowest grade on her report card.
In this
because
school,
she had to say, yes. I have to stay yeah. in math class.
Your daughter was not in band, but was in
my
band lessons?
My daughter, right.
That's
first
weird.
Year,
I
saxophone.
Wow.
She was in band.
Because like we never signed up for lessons.
They assign you lessons.
Yes.
And they're once every 12 days or 8 days or whatever random day they sort of assign you.
Really?
But if you're getting pulled out of math and you have a test, then you're obviously not going to your lesson.
Right.
So she ended up getting her lowest grade on her report card. It was an 85 and it was in saxophone lessons. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I've never, what was he grading you on?
Yeah.
Showing up like you were in math class. I think that, yeah.
That's a good point.
But we
said it's always happened. I know my son last year was his last year. And it was always a rotating thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would ask.
And,
you know, oftentimes he didn't go to lessons, but that's another story. But it would be math one time or English. You know, every once in a while it would fall during the lunch or study.
But that's kind of what I'm saying. It doesn't help the lessons or the classes. And I, you know, I mean, I realize at some point a decision was made to do it that way, but it doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense. So, you know, I would like us to make a decision to ask that the schedule be reworked. I mean, there's information in here about other things that are not working for that schedule, too. I think we should... Let the principals work with the guidance counselors to arrange schedules so that kids are not being pulled out of academic courses to take lessons or things that are... I mean, if you did it once every 3 months, maybe that would be okay, but on a rotating basis of 6 days, this is nuts.
Well, my question is, it makes perfect sense what you're proposing, Judy. I just wonder, there's going to be some fallout on the other side. So I have two questions.
Mm-hmm.
One, is that how you all did it over where you come from? And how do you expect this will be received by faculty?
Two big questions I'm hearing. One's a scheduling issue, which when you deal with high school scheduling, it's almost impossible to have a perfect schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But the bigger issue what I'm hearing is that are we offering too much music? And do we want to change individual lessons to after school or before school? Major impact on program, major impact in the community. I don't have a sense of the community yet if they believe that that would be something that they would not support. So I think we need to talk about what are the two issues. Are we talking about that there's too much music during the day and we'd like to have it before or after school? That has a major impact.
Yeah.
Or are we talking about a scheduling issue? And I can tell you that any guidance counselors or principals that are working with schedules to try to fit music instrumental practices in between, that's difficult to do. So the rotating basis is the only way that could really be done. But after school and before school is an option, but that's a major shift in a district that I believe has supported music and arts as much as you guys have.
Well, but I don't think people out there honestly realize that what we're doing is using a teacher's $10,000 a year period to teach two or three kids at a time.
Absolutely.
And I'm not so sure they'd support it. It costs us roughly $10,000 a period for a teacher. When you're giving lessons to between one and three kids per period, that's an indefensible amount of money.
And then availability drops out, so you got a free period that
Absolutely.
I'm appalled that this is the way it's going. So
part of the issue isn't part of the issue. I think the community would be more interested in math scores and how it affects that part of our program, because, I mean, I support the arts wholeheartedly, but I want to see our math scores up there and whatever other courses are being sacrificed. So, I mean, there is a trade-off here.
I'm going to be meeting with principals and telling them that, you know, they have a wish list and these wonderful things and what's needed, and my first question to them is, what are you going to give up, or how are you going to find the money to support this? And if they suggest, well, maybe we have too much music, it takes a little bit of the burden off of
you guys. I don't think asking teachers to, I don't think it's a matter of too much music. I think it's a matter of the way it's structured. If you put all of those kids that are scattered throughout the day into one class of 12 or 15 kids, that would make it much easier to try to arrange a schedule. Why are we setting it up so that these kids are getting $3,000 a year worth of private lessons?
That's exactly
what's
happening.
That makes no sense.
In my former district, we used to do that even with singing lessons, and we stopped that. Band still goes on. Different ways to handle it. Put band at the end of the day and make it I don't know if you have 8 or 9 periods here.
We have 9.
Make it a 10th period, and the teacher's day fluctuates so that they're starting later and they're staying later. You could rotate those schedules. You could do it in the morning. I don't know if the transportation. A lot of things to look at.
Okay.
But we'll talk more about them. And it's looking at innovative ways to deliver the same services at a more efficient price.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And those are things that we
both cost efficient and academically
Absolutely.
Efficient.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right.
And also, I'd like us to have on the agenda for next time discussion and or voting on. It brought up briefly the idea of pass-fail for specials. I mean, there's really, I suppose if we sent an email out, maybe Ray could do some talking to people. If anyone can come up with a downside, which I can't honestly see, because there are a lot of kids who don't take advantage of things like that because it's going to mess up their average. And
it doesn't actually figure into the GPA. It doesn't look good either.
But it can keep
you
off honor roll.
You mean if you take a pass-fail class? If you take a graded course and say
you
really want to take, you know, jazz band, but you're not that good at it, and you get a 75, and that's on your college transcript, even if it doesn't go into your GPA, it doesn't look good.
But it
so
does keep you
be
off the honor roll because
anymore, they did away with that immediately.
They did,
too. Yeah, like the ever-changing rules.
Oh,
because
it used to. Okay.
So it won't keep you off the honor roll. It doesn't go into your.
It did for like 2 marking periods last year, and I think we were all like, "What are you kidding me?" You know, I mean, his saxophone lessons
so
keeps him off my honor roll. What?
Who gets a chance to decide on this? Aren't we supposed to have decisions?
Yes.
You know what?
Whatever.
Because it changes often, you can never know. I mean, I had to call Jen and say, okay, help me out here. Does it or does it not affect the GPA?
Not only
this
do we not
get
it, but we aren't even told about it.
You know, I mean,
I think I'm
sorry, Roseanne.
I'll just tell you this, whether you want to hear it or not. I know the special teachers were globalistic because at one point we got away from that. Because, and I'll tell you what they'll say. Very often, and this is not on the elementary level, you know, like on the K-2 level, but on the high school level, I don't know how to put this, but very often special area classes are used as dumping grounds where kids are put into these classes and create a lot of behavior issues and a lot of things. And so, you know, so the kids aren't really working, they're not doing what they need to do, and you give them a pass-fail, and it's like you're sitting there doing nothing, and just taking up space. I'm telling you, they'll go crazy.
But the kind of kids who are going to cause problems, are they really all that concerned with what their grade is anyway?
Some of them, yeah.
Another one that I'm very confused about, there are classes that are being taken, electives?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like art and music, things, I mean, just, okay, take middle school, for example, because that's where mine are at. They have no choice but to take art, gym. I mean, gym, obviously, everyone has to take, but they have to take art, no choice. They have to take, you know,
tech.
They have to take music. Mm-hmm. I mean, my son just went through the recorder again. He did it in second grade, he just did it again in seventh grade. We had a little bit of a tiff because I said, you know, what are you grading him on, seriously? And so he said, well, he's got to show up on time. He kept getting all these 4 out of 10s every day. I'm like, what is this, 4 out of 10? What is he doing so wrong that he's getting half of his grade taken off? Well, he's not showing up on time.
Don't they all go together?
Well, he's in advanced math, so they don't all go together. He had to run from the high school all the way back to his locker and then to Mr. Stowe, who was penalizing him 5 out of 10 a day for not showing up breathing. So I'm like, what are you grading?
That's crazy, well, but I've had a different experience. Just
my grading policy. Then I would say, I mean, first of all, I think it's illegal to grade on not being. I mean, I don't think not
we did have that.
It's illegal to grade on that. I mean, you're not really supposed to grade on.
Yeah, you're absolutely.
Class.
But that's all they can.
So, before you do pass fail, I would suggest that you have some kind of grading policy. You know, I mean, we've been.
You want to hear complaints.
I have to tell you, no, I don't care what class it is, whether it's physics or recorder, there should be a very detailed
syllabus
on how those children are going to be assessed. And if they're grading them, first of all, that the fact that they're in advanced math and running across the building and then penalizing that is insane to me.
But it's true,
But even if it was not that, and they're grading them just strictly on attendance and performance and not really with a rubric-based type of assessment.
But performance is one thing and talent is another. So, I mean, if you've got seventh grade boys standing up in front of a room being mortified to play the recorder in front of all their friends, I'm thinking pass feels almost a fairest way you can even.
Maybe it's not the right course.
If you're standing in front of the room being mortified, then I would do something about that.
He's got my dyslexic. I told you this story in that thing.
I had
him color code the thing because he's dyslexic. Mm. I'm telling you, this kid sat for hours, 3 days in a row, trying to study how to play this stupid recorder. I said, "Why? I know. Why are you so worried, Mom? I'm gonna fail music." I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" But he cared. So we color-coded. I had a big long email exchange with the teacher. I said, listen, he's dyslexic. This is driving him nuts. He can't get this thing. You know, is there anything we can do? Sure, I'll take it all into account. I said, what are these 4 out of 10s? You know, I mean, we went through this whole big thing, back and forth. I sent him out with a color-coded thing. He has to stand up in front of the class. He's the first one. The guy rips it out of his hands. He says, nope, you have to use one. Everybody else uses. Okay.
This is like so disheartening, but it sounds to me, just because I have a totally different experience with the music department, never had that involved with maybe that particular teacher. My daughter is no kind of genius musician, but she shows up, she plays, she likes it, she tries a little, and she pretty much gets 95s. And she feels, and sometimes they'll dip down a little for whatever reason, and she feels good. So, like, you know, it's pleasant, and it's like, wow, she got an A in something. It's awesome. This sounds terrible,
it sounds like a problem with an individual teacher.
Yeah.
I think it's more widespread than you think.
I could probably count on both hands the number of teachers who give out a syllabus, and the problem is when you are grading subjectively instead of objectively.
You
have nothing to.
I like the way he looks.
Nothing to complain about.
From what I recall, I remember seeing syllabus from most of my son's classes.
Mm-hmm. That's good. If that's changed, that makes me really happy.
Again, let me talk to the principals, see what they're.
I'm talking about middle school.
Sure.
Yeah. Collectively pass, fail, when they are forced to take these things. It seems to me that the poor kid who's
you know, struggling to draw a picture, and art is being graded on a talent that he doesn't have, and it's dragging him down sometimes, or, I mean, it just, it seems like if you can electively pass-fail take these classes, you can take them for a grade, or you can take them pass-fail. It might encourage students to take them more often, because they can take a pass-fail, and it's going to be a pass, as long as they participate, show up, do their thing. You know, so the kid who might not take advanced jazz band will take it, because it's going to just be a P on their report card versus a 85 or, you know, so.
Well, and that's what Suzanne Louis said, was that her
son. She said her son's had one under life.
He was ticked because he got a 75 in it, but she wanted him to learn. And that maybe we could allow kids to have one or two pass-fails through their career or whatever. I mean, there's got to be some way to address it.
It's just their elective that they have to do. But I think once they get up to the advanced jazz band phases, where this is something that, you know, it's an interest to them and they're putting a lot of work, they should get recognized with an actual grade.
Talk to the principals and see.
Get some feedback.
See if there's, you know, a heavy issue or what it is. We'll talk more.
Okay. All right. Is there anything more under board then?
I don't think so. I think that was oh, God. I'm forgetting something else. I think I'll have to remember.
Okay. Move it to public comment. I don't think we have any public comment tonight. All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Now let's move out of public session to exec session to discuss particular personnel matters.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded.
Have a great night. See you tomorrow.
Thanks, Roseanne.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Roseanne.
Thank you.